All right, welcome back to the deep dive. You know, one of the questions we get asked a lot, is probably something you've thought about too, is this whole idea of God's will, especially in the New Testament. So this one's really for you because you actually sent us some super interesting material from Dr. Gary Metters. He's got this whole lecture series on it. So we're going to dive deep, no pun intended, into his lecture notes, slides, all that, and try to clarify some of the common misconceptions people have.
Yeah, for sure.
It seems like so many people approach this like it's a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
Like, if only I could crack the code, I'd know exactly what God wants me to do.
Right.
But Dr. Metters takes a different approach, a much more knowledge-based, practical approach. And I think it's going to be really insightful as we dig in.
Yeah, I agree. He really emphasizes the importance of going back to the source, you know, to the scripture itself. And one of the things he really stresses that we've got to remember, the Bible's not just a bunch of random thoughts thrown together, but a unified story. You know, the New Testament is built directly on the foundation of the Old Testament. He actually uses the term prolegomena.
Prolegomena.
It's like a fancy word for the introductory material, the groundwork.
So the Old Testament is the essential groundwork for everything in the New Testament. So we're talking about one continuous narrative.
One continuous narrative, And the language might shift a bit here and there. Like Dr. Metters points out that the Old Testament often talks about pleasing God, while the New Testament uses this more direct will of God language. But the core idea, the core concept, it remains the same. It's all about aligning ourselves with what God wants, what he intends.
Yeah, about being on the same page as God, you know. So how prevalent is that will of God language in the New Testament?
Oh, it pops up all over the place.
Really?
Dr. Metters actually counted something like 51 texts
51 texts.
where will is used in connection with God.
Wow.
So you can see it was a big deal for the early Christians. But, and this is important, it's not like they were coming up with something totally brand new. They were more like refining existing ideas, you know, bringing a sharper focus to those concepts about God's intentions for us humans.
Interesting. So it's not a revolution, it's more of a refinement.
Right, a refinement.
All right, well, let's talk about those categories of God's will that Dr. Metters outlines. The first one he dives into is God's sovereign will. And when we're talking about that, we're talking about God's ultimate control over everything, especially when it comes to redemptive history and like the big events that shape the world.
You see this all the time. Think about how many New Testament letters start with things like Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. That's not just some formal greeting. It's them acknowledging that even their specific roles, you know, their ministries, it's all part of God's bigger plan.
It's like they're saying, I'm here because God put me here.
It's a recognition that he's the one calling the shots.
And there's that powerful story in Acts 21 where the elders, they try to stop Paul from going to Jerusalem.
Yeah, they had this prophetic sense that he was walking into trouble, that he'd get arrested.
But despite knowing what was likely to happen, they end up saying, let the will of the Lord be done.
And Dr. Metters emphasizes this wasn't just them giving up or being resigned to fate, you know. It was a powerful recognition of God's sovereignty, his ultimate authority, even in a situation they didn't fully grasp or agree with.
I see. They were basically saying, we trust God's plan, even if we don't love the way it looks right now. And there's a similar sentiment in Romans 1:10 where Paul, he says he wants to visit Rome, but admits that the timing depends on, you know, God's will.
Yeah, it's this understanding that we can have our desires and make plans, but ultimately God's timing and his ways are what will prevail.
It's like, here's what I'm hoping for, but God's got the final say on when and how it happens. Then there's 1 Peter 3:17, which can be a bit of a tough verse to swallow.
Yeah, it talks about how it's better to suffer for doing good if that should be God's will.
And Dr. Metters clarifies that this isn't about like actively seeking out suffering.
No, not at all. It's more about acknowledging that in a world that's often opposed to God and his ways, hardship, even suffering for doing what's right, it can be part of his sovereign plan.
It's about staying faithful even when things get really difficult.
And that's a really important message for anyone going through hard times, especially in certain parts of the world where, you know, being a Christian can be incredibly dangerous. It's a reminder that even in those tough situations, even in suffering, there can be a purpose that goes beyond our understanding in the moment.
So the big takeaway about God's sovereign will seems to be that we usually only understand it looking back, you know, after things have already happened.
Right.
It's not something we should be trying to predict or figure out ahead of time.
Exactly. Trying to play prophet and pinpoint exactly how God's going to act beforehand, that's not what we see in the Bible. Our focus should be on how we respond in the circumstances we find ourselves in, trusting in God's control and goodness.
It's about living faithfully in the present, trusting that God's working everything out in the bigger picture.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's move on to the second category Dr. Metters talks about, God's moral will.
Oh, okay.
This one feels, I don't know, a little bit more tangible.
Yeah, more practical, for sure.
It's about living by God's moral standards. The things he's clearly told us are right and wrong in the Bible.
Exactly. And that's where that idea from Deuteronomy comes in. You
yeah.
know? The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
So God's moral will isn't some big mystery. It's spelled out for us in his teachings.
Right, it's in the Torah, the prophets, the whole foundation of the New Testament's ethical system. That's the first place we should look for guidance in our daily lives.
It's like a roadmap for making good decisions.
Exactly.
And then Dr. Metters brings up 1 Thessalonians 4.3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. What's he getting at with sanctification here?
That's a great question. He's making the point that sanctification isn't just about, you know, cleaning up our act, like becoming morally perfect in a behavioral sense.
Okay.
It goes much deeper than that. It's about growing in our understanding of God and his ways, developing what he calls a transformed mind.
A transformed mind.
Yeah, one that sees the world through the lens of the Bible and embraces those biblical values.
So it's about aligning our thoughts and desires with God's truth.
Exactly. And that naturally leads to changing our behavior, turning away from things that are harmful or go against God's will. It's a holistic process of becoming more like Christ, inside and out.
Okay, so it's about the heart and the actions. And then he mentions 1 Peter 2.1-3.15, where believers are called to submit to authorities, even the ones we might not agree with, as long as they don't force us to do something that goes against God's commands.
Right, and that falls under God's moral will, too. It's about living in a way that brings honor to God, you know,
right.
Silencing those who might criticize the faith. Our personal feelings about a rule don't determine whether it's God's will or not.
So the question isn't, do I like this rule?
Right. It's, does it contradict what God has said in his word?
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then cooperating with those societal norms is actually presented as being in line with God's will.
Makes sense. Now, this leads to a really big point that Dr. Metters stresses, which is the New Testament, it doesn't tell us to go on some big quest to, you know, uncover God's specific plan for every little decision.
Yeah.
Especially outside of what he's revealed in Scripture, the emphasis is more on doing God's will.
Right, on putting it into practice.
Which implies that we're supposed to already know what his will is, yeah. You know?
Right, and that can be a real game changer for people. Dr. Metters has this great quote. He says, God's will isn't lost. You don't have to find it. It's in the Scriptures. You've got to discover and pull out and deal with it.
I like that.
It shifts the focus from searching for some hidden message to engaging with what God has already made clear.
So instead of always asking, God, what do I do in this specific situation?
Right.
We should be focusing on digging into the Bible.
Exactly. Understanding it in its context.
Yeah.
And then applying that knowledge with minds that are being transformed by those truths.
And he even mentions this book, Finding God's Will, A Pagan Notion by Walt Treck. Just the title is pretty provocative.
Yeah, it is. It challenges that common idea that we need to find this, like, secret personalized plan for every detail of our lives. Dr. Metters even draws a connection to, you know, like divination and fortune telling.
Oh, wow.
Suggesting that trying to uncover a hidden will outside of Scripture, that's not really how God wants us to make decisions.
So, knowing God's will, it's not about getting some special revelation about who to marry or what job to take.
Right. It's about applying the big picture principles and values we find in the Bible to all of life's situations. That's where we get our guidance.
The framework's already there. Now we just got to learn how to use it.
Exactly.
Now, I know Dr. Metters talks about exhortations in the New Testament to know or be filled with the knowledge of God's will. So how does that fit in with all of this? It sounds like we're supposed to know it.
Right. Well, here's where understanding the language is key. Dr. Metters points to Colossians 1.9. It's where Paul prays that the believers would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. But then he goes on to explain that the word filled doesn't necessarily mean getting brand new information.
Okay.
It's more about being characterized by that knowledge, being saturated with it.
So it's not like a download of secret knowledge.
No, it's about engaging with the knowledge they already had through the teachings of Paul and others.
Okay.
And spiritual wisdom, that's not some kind of mystical intuition. It's more like the practical skill to live and act based on that knowledge.
So wisdom that comes from actually understanding and applying God's word.
Exactly.
And he points out that when people are described as spiritual in the New Testament, it's usually talking about those who are skillfully living out their faith based on what they've been taught from the Bible.
Right. It's not about having some kind of special experience. It's about putting that knowledge into practice, demonstrating it in your life.
So these exhortations to know God's will, it's not about going on a quest for hidden secrets.
No, it's a call to action.
To actively engage with what's already been revealed and show our obedience by how we live.
Exactly.
Okay, so less frantic searching, more active living.
Right.
So how do we practically pursue God's will in our everyday lives?
Well, Dr. Matters outlines a few key ways. The most fundamental one is by consistently living in accordance with that moral will we've already discussed.
Okay.
That's the baseline.
Starting point.
Right. Then he talks about managing the direct, implied, and created construct levels of biblical teaching.
That sounds a little complicated.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful. Basically, he's saying we need to engage with the Bible on different levels.
Okay.
Not just focusing on the obvious commands.
Like the thou shalt nots.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But also understanding the underlying principles behind those commands and how bigger theological concepts shape our understanding of God's will in different situations.
So give me an example.
Sure. A direct command would be something like, do not lie.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But then there's the implied principle of treating everyone fairly and respectfully, which you find woven throughout teachings about love and justice.
I see. So that's an implied principle based on the direct command.
Right. And then you have a created construct, like the idea of the church as the body of Christ. That's a bigger theological concept that influences how we treat other believers.
Right. It gives us a framework for understanding our relationships within the church. So we're not just pulling verses out of context.
No, we're trying to understand the bigger picture, the overall message of Scripture, and apply that to our lives.
Okay, that makes sense. And then there's this idea of developing a critically self-conscious worldview and value set.
Right. And what he means by that is we're not just supposed to memorize a few Bible verses.
Yeah.
We need to internalize a whole biblical framework that shapes our thinking, our values, how we make choices in every area of life.
It's about aligning our minds with God's truth.
Exactly.
And then he talks about being sensitive to providence, which is basically being aware of God working through events in our lives, both the good and the bad.
Right. It's about recognizing that even when things are difficult or don't make sense right away, God is still in control and working out his purposes.
So it's about paying attention to the circumstances around us and looking for God's hand in them.
Exactly.
And that leads to the last point he makes in this section, which is about trusting God even when things are really, really hard, like Job level hard.
Yeah, he quotes that famous line from Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
That's some serious trust.
It is. And it's essential to living in God's will.
Mm.
You know, he doesn't always intervene to make our lives easy or comfortable.
Right.
Our job is to glorify him by being obedient and trusting him, no matter what we're facing.
Okay, so putting it all together, what's the big picture message about God's will in the New Testament?
It boils down to this. Obeying the teachings of the Bible, that's the primary way we live in God's will.
It's not about finding the secret personalized plan.
No, it's about following the roadmap he's already given us.
And that idea of being in the center of God's will.
That often just means being deeply rooted in those teachings and living them out.
It's about being a doer of the word, not just a hearer.
Exactly.
And Dr. Matters is pretty blunt about it, you know. He says being lazy and not studying the Bible, that's a huge obstacle to living in God's will.
Yeah. He encourages curiosity, diligent study, even when it's hard. He even recommends GoogleScholar.com as a good resource for finding solid biblical research.
So the question we should be asking isn't, am I in God's will, but am I living up to what I already know from his word?
Right. That's a much better focus. It puts the responsibility on us to act.
Okay. So now let's talk about some of the examples Dr. Matters uses from the New Testament.
Okay.
He starts with Jesus, you know, how he perfectly pursued God's will.
Right. He fulfilled those Old Testament prophecies.
Yeah.
And lived by every word that came from God. He was the ultimate example.
And then he passed that baton to the apostles.
Exactly. And they didn't see themselves as coming up with their own ideas, you know.
Okay.
They were passing on the teachings they got from Jesus.
So they were continuing his work.
Right. And even when someone like Paul had new revelations, he was always careful to present them as coming from God, as fitting within that larger message.
So the content of their teaching, those values, that's God's will for us.
Exactly. It's about letting those teachings transform our minds.
And Dr. Metters talks about the difference between proof texting, where you just pull a verse out of context to support whatever you already believe.
Right. He says that's not how we're supposed to interpret scripture.
And he recommends that book, Reading the Bible for All It's Worth, by Fee and Stewart, to help people understand how to interpret different parts of the Bible correctly.
Yeah, it's a great resource for understanding the different genres and purposes within scripture.
So we can avoid those misinterpretations.
Exactly.
And for anyone who wants to dig deeper into the ethical implications of scripture, Dr. Metters provides a list of resources.
He mentions books by Dennis Hollinger on making good choices, Richard Hayes, The Moral Vision of the New Testament. He specifically mentions the original version.
Okay.
And Charles Cosgrove, who's written about ethical frameworks of the New Testament. And then James Thompson's book on moral formation, according to Paul.
Those are some heavy hitters in the world of biblical scholarship.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out.
And he talks about the value deposit system again, you know, how it's the accumulation of those biblical values within us that guides our decision making.
Right, like building a reservoir of wisdom over time.
So it's not just about knowing the rules, it's about letting them shape who we are.
Exactly.
Finally, he defines a spiritual person in a way that's pretty grounded.
Yeah, he says it's not about having some mystical experience or achieving some special state.
It's about consistently living by God's word.
Right. Learning and applying those biblical principles and constantly growing in grace and knowledge.
So true spirituality is about obedience and alignment with God's teaching.
Exactly. It's not some abstract concept.
It's about how we live.
Exactly.
And that brings us back to Romans 12:1-2 about being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can actually discern God's will.
Right. So we can figure out what's good, pleasing, and perfect in his eyes.
And it all comes back to that idea that as a person thinks, so they are.
Our minds need to be constantly shaped by God's word.
So to sum up this whole deep dive into Dr. Metters' material, understanding God's will in the New Testament, it's not about going on a spiritual treasure hunt for some secret plan.
No.
It's about diligently studying and obeying the Bible.
Exactly.
And hopefully you, our listener, have a much clearer understanding of this really important topic now.
I hope so.
And we want to leave you with a final thought to chew on. How does this understanding change the way you seek God's guidance in your everyday life?
Yeah, how does it impact your commitment to letting the Bible transform your mind?
It's something to really think about. We encourage you to check out the resources Dr. Metters mentioned or go back and listen to his lecture again.
Yeah, there's so much wisdom there to unpack.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.